Welcome to another episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Horstman, and my prayer for you is that the Lord would be pleased to bless this show and use it to provide you as a Christian parent with gospel-centered, grace-driven ideas and encouragement for shepherding your children's hearts and cultivating your family's relationships with Jesus and with each other. To this episode of the Family Discipleship Podcast. Today I have for our guest, Amber Smith. Funny thing is Amber Smith and I don't live too far apart geographically speaking. We're actually in the same state. So most of the people I talk to are like, you know, other side of the country or, you know, thousands of miles away, but we're actually not too far away. But yeah, welcome to the show today, Amber.
Thank you. No, I'm really excited to get to share our story and to connect. Yeah. I love connecting with a neighbor in the state, so that's incredible.
Yes, it's always fun. So, for those of you who don't know Amber Smith, she's a mother, a wife, homeschool teacher, blogger, and writer. And on her website, correct me if I'm wrong, it's 200fingersandtoes.com. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, well, I'll link it in the show notes with the episode so that people can find it. But yeah, on that website, she shares her story of how God changed her life, turned her world upside down, and led her down a path of creativity and forgiveness and love. And now she wants to offer hope, help, and guidance to new homeschool parents who are, you know, just starting out or finding their own way, which is awesome because, you know, especially with what we've been going through in our country the last few years, you know, a lot of people have turned to that, which is really exciting, and I love that. So, but they're looking for help and they're looking for direction, and so it's nice that you provide resources to do that. So today we're going to be talking about multiplying your vision. So, you know, having a bunch of children is just the start to creating a family, you know, basically a family vision that moves through the generation. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Again, I'll have all the links to your website, social media resources and all that stuff in the links with this episode. But for now, let's just go ahead and jump right into the conversation if that sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right. Well, so topic of vision. So you're going to talk about, you know, creating a vision. So, my first question, I guess, is, are you like a resolution maker, like a big time planner? Like, you know, some people are like that and like everything meticulously, you know, blocked out on a schedule or planner. Is that the kind of person you are?
Yeah, I think that's a really important question because I am not. I'm not a New Year's resolution person. I've never been somebody to like hardcore use a planner or be really organized. And so I think like that's one thing I share when I talk about creating a vision for your homeschool is it's really important for every person across the board and has probably been more important for somebody like me who is kind of like, I always call myself a pantser. Like I just fly by the seat of my pants and I work really well, with limited information and like to just do things on the fly, which is great because I have 10 kids. And so I have been created for the life that I live. But having a vision, I think goes beyond your personality type and goes beyond, your lifestyle and is something that can really anchor you no matter who you are. So yeah, no, I'm not highly organized and I try to share that because I want to encourage people who are like, oh, that's not my thing, to say like, no, creating a vision is actually really valuable for somebody like me. And I've been shocked and surprised on how many times I've gone back to this vision that I had or this why page. And it is just like, realigned me to our plan. So yeah, I really feel like it's vital no matter who you are and what your dynamic is.
Right. Well, as I'm thinking about it, as you're talking there, it's like, you know, I can see, you know, if you're not, you know, kind of the planner schedule type of person, you know, you kind of need a vision because, you know, otherwise you're just aimlessly, you know, chugging along. Whereas if you have a vision, at least, yeah, you might be a little bit more spontaneous or, you know, not as planned out, but at least you still have an end goal in sight that you're working toward, and that helps a lot. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what got you to create a vision for your homeschool and your family in the first place? Like, you know, what made you think about it? How did you get started?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it was purely accidental. And I'm so grateful that I stumbled on this. But we had actually bought a little program for the computer when it's on the little DVD, put it in. And when you started it up, I just wanted to keep a record of my kids' classes and what we were learning. And the first page had the name of your school, which I had to think of the name of our school. And then the second page asked for your vision. And I was like, oh, I hadn't thought about it, but I thought, like, if I'm going to go through the process of putting something in here, I would like it to be thoughtful. And so I spent some time really thinking about, like, first of all, the name of our school, because that I think kind of covers our direction. And then I really spent some time thinking about, like, what kinds of things do I want to instill in our kids, and what kind of, like, long-term things do I want to see? And as I wrestled those out, I wrote them all down and kind of created a couple paragraphs that expressed our vision for what we wanted. And then I could get onto the next page of, like, putting in my student's name. And it was funny because I put in my youngest son's name at the time. And I remember it was, like, I don't even know, maybe early 2000s. And it said, like, 2023 was his graduation date. And I remember at the time just thinking, like, that's a million years from now. There's just, like, I can't even imagine how far away that is at that time. Wow. And here we are. And so it's amazing how that's how long ago I created this vision. And every time I read it, I am just realigned, and I'm like, no, that is accurate today. Accurate today. And I don't think you can say that thing about a lot of things that you've created or written or done or read. And so, so I think, you know, when you align with your own personal goals and values, you can come back to it year after year and be like, wow, this really speaks truth back into my life and just helps me get back on track.
Right. Right. No, I agree. So, like, when you were creating that, you know, why page or your vision page, so how did you know what to add? Like, you know, tell us a little bit about, like, your thinking through that. Like, you know, how did you go from staring at the blank page to, you know, finishing it and moving on?
Yeah, two things. First was academically, because, of course, I'm oriented. This was my homeschool vision. And so I wanted to say, like, what kind of values do I want my children to have as attributes about what they think about education in the first place? Like, what kind of life values do I want them to have? Because, of course, school's going to end one day, and I want them to think further about being an educated person and about how they approach learning in the first place. And so I think instead of maybe looking on the surface and being like, we're going to be successful at math or we're going to be able to spell, I'm going to the deeper themes of what kind of values do you want to instill in your children long term? And for me, that was, I wanted lifelong learners. I wanted kids who were curious. And so that meant that I had to create a homeschool that then supported that. So if curiosity was an important factor for me as a value, then I have to make room for curiosity in my homeschool. So those specific things really then in turn shaped how we created our school to reflect that. So I think as looking at long-term values of how your children approach learning, and then also then the second part was our faith and attributes that we wanted to see instilled in our kids long-term in their personal core values as just a human person. And so, you know, for us, faith was important, and we wanted to make sure that we had a deep foundation in our family culture, so that was an imprinted part of them as a human. And as they walked through their life, their faith wasn't just something they applied on top of who they were, but it was a deep value within our home, family, life, and culture. And so when we put that in our vision, so thinking about what kind of things do you want to see reflected after school, like as you have, I've always said, like, I'm raising my peers. My children are going to one day not be my children. They're going to be side by side with me in work and labor and life. And so what kind of peers do I want to live and work and do life together with? Those are the kinds of things that I want to start working on instilling in my 5, 6, and 7-year-old so that we can see that come to fruition in their adulthood. So in looking at, like, what are deep values to you, or places that maybe you had a deficit. So, you know, that's where I've seen if there are things that I felt like I didn't have really good support for, then I made those values in my vision for my life and plan and homeschool so that I made sure my kids were bolstered in that area and came out with confidence and determination in areas where maybe I did not have that. And so I think you can be really intentional about making up for ground that maybe you aren't strong in and don't have a great foundation in. So those were some of the things that really helped me kind of tune into the character attributes that I wanted. And then went a little further and like, okay, now how are we going to help our kids grow those specific characteristics?
And so I imagine they weren't all the same for each child. For, you know, some of the characteristics, you know, like you're saying, curiosity, you know, you had to build that in. So, you know, did you kind of have to adjust that, you know, kind of as you went along, or was it just kind of, you know, how did that work?
Yeah.
That
makes sense. And I think that's the beauty of having a long-term vision, because it wasn't so like subject specific or personality specific. We could really fine tune to each one of our children. Like I have some kids who are very strongly, they're just a strong personality. Like they're just fiercely determined. And so I'd have to work so hard. But then I had some kids who were more timid or who were maybe more afraid of doing things wrong. And so I could bring them along in a different way. But I think the beauty of having kind of a long-term vision is that those things do apply across the board. So, you know, like respecting your family, like we just have a rule, like home is safe. And home will always be a safe place for you. And that has been a family culture value that we have just reiterated over and over again. And so, you know, seeing those kinds of things and then looking for ways to help your children do that. So we've had lots of different times where we've, you know, had to work on a character attribute or work on something long term. But I think the beauty of going to those core values is those do apply across the board. And if you had some more detail, now I do have like personal goals for each of my students and I go over those yearly. So then we break down and say, okay, hey, maybe I see a kid who's not really working on family culture, or maybe he's not getting along with brothers and sisters, and that's a value to us. And so I'm going to make some time. Maybe we're going to work on a personal study or we're going to do something on that. So we can work with our individual kids and students to say, okay, I see we're not maybe coming alongside in this area. So I really want to help bring some tools and skills to bolster that as well.
Well, kind of like I was saying, you know, when you have that long-term vision in place, you know, you know the end result of where you want to be. And so then you can kind of fine tune and tweak it a little bit as you go, you know, kind of like you're saying, reviewing each year to see, you know, how is it fitting in and what do we need to change or adjust a little bit, which is, that's one of the beauties of homeschooling in the first place, right? Is it's not, you know, all in one box, you know, type of situation where it's like, you know, you can't change anything. So, So let's take just a quick break. And then we'll come back and, I would like to ask you, like, you know, how this Y page, this vision has kept you and your family on track over the years. Is raising children with a vibrant Christian faith one of your biggest concerns as a parent? In today's secular culture, it can feel like an uphill battle to instill strong biblical values in our sons and daughters. You're not alone in this struggle. As Christian parents, we all want our families to thrive and be a light for Christ. But sometimes we need guidance and support to build up that vibrant home life we desire. That's why I'm excited to share with you an incredible online event, the Spring 2024 Vibrant Home Life Summit. This 5-day virtual conference features over 30 Christian speakers, pastors, authors, and parents, including Brooke Wayne, Rob Reinow, Sam Sorbo, and others. These voices will encourage, inspire, and equip you with practical biblical wisdom, from nurturing family relationships to raising competent Christian adults to impacting the culture for Jesus. This conference covers it all. It's an amazing opportunity to breathe new life into your family's walk with the Lord. Visit familydiscipleshippodcast.com/vibrant for more details. Together, let's renew a passion for building a home that glorifies God. Break. And again, we have Amber Smith with us today. We're talking about family vision. She's told us a little bit about, you know, how she first got started and why she created a vision for her family. So I'd like to ask you now, like, you know, this Y page, this vision page, how has this helped keep you and your family on track throughout the years in your family?
Yeah, I think the most important person this Y page was made for is for me. And I'm the leader of my homeschool. Me and my husband meeting together, we're the ones who kind of create the direction every year. And homeschooling is great. It is rewarding. It is by far the best choice I have made in our life. But it is also really difficult. When you are in charge of all of the discipline, all of the chores, and you're making your kids do math, you're just like not everybody's favorite person many, many times a day. And so that can really wear on you, and that can be really difficult. And so I think having this vision has really helped me stay on track, because I have to be reminded of, like, why did I choose this? There are times when, if you're giving up a job, like, we chose to be a single income family. We had 10 kids, so there was no way I was working when we were in the depths of homeschooling 10 kids. And so, like, we did give up a lot of things. And sometimes, like, I would think, like, I gave up lunches with adults. Like, I gave up vacation time and respect and accolades from other people who are telling me good job. And sometimes when homeschooling, like, there aren't a lot of people tell you good job because all those people are small and they don't want to do the dishes. And you really have to be your own personal hype team. And of course you and your spouse are going to come together, but I think having a vision page is so vital, because sometimes you just need to be recentered. And I will tell you, I only know from my own experience, sometimes I would just randomly come across, I had a copy of that page in my homeschool mom binder, and I would just randomly come across it and I would read through it. And it would change my whole attitude for the day. And I know God just knew when I needed to see it, because it would just be there on my desk. I'm like, oh, and I would read through it. And that feels so true. That feels so right and accurate. And I'm reminded that, like, what's a lunch? What's a week of vacation? What's a bonus compared to this bigger, broader goal that we are working toward that has such a deep value? And we can be short-sighted, like, we're human people. And so it just is the nature of humanity is to be short-sighted. And so I think having something outside of us, just like we have the Word of God that reminds us constantly about what is true and what is real, I think on a smaller scale, this why page, our vision, is kind of where we go to be realigned and reminded, like, what is true and what is really valuable.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, you think about it, like, in the business world and stuff, you know, a good business or company will have a, you know, a mission statement, or, you know, basically the same thing as, you know, a vision for the company. And, you know, and, you know, for business owners, you know, it's kind of the same way. You know, if you have that, because there are going to be some difficult days where it's like not everything is going exactly the way you'd like it to go, or you're not having the, you know, the monetary or physical reward today. And so, you know, yeah, it definitely helps keep you on track, because, you know, the reward is there. We just have to be reminded of it sometimes. So I love that. So you talked a few minutes ago about, you know, those goals you had for learning and relationships. So do you see them working in your family, and how?
Yeah, and I think that's why I can say this has been a 20-year-long experiment, and we have 10 kids. I've got one away in law school, but everybody else is still nearby. And every Friday, the whole family comes over for dinner. And one of my goals was really to build family culture and to have siblings. I'm a second oldest of seven, but our family culture was different and they were kind of fractured. And so I don't have deep relationships with my siblings. And I saw that even growing up, because we were also public school kids. And so there was just a different orientation. Of course, like, we had that grade against grade dynamic and age against age dynamic. And so I really wanted to build this interdependence. And also I had heard people say, like, you know, they talked about their family growing up and perhaps like a grandmother or a mother would pass away and they would say, well, that was the end of family get togethers. And I just thought, like, I want to build a culture in through our homeschool and through our family life that if I'm ever gone, this continues. Like, my kids have a structure and a foundation that if I'm out of the picture, that doesn't change everything. And I'm seeing that now with my adult kids. Like, they really have these vibrant, healthy relationships. They call and speak to one another. But then also, like, I wanted to use homeschooling to build deep, real relationships with my children. And every Friday, like, they come and they eat and they hang out with each other. And sometimes we go to bed and we're like, can you guys just clean up and put everything away? Cause, like, we're done hanging out. We're old and we're tired and we have work. And I see that. And so it's really fun to step back and say, man, like, this was a goal that I had and I didn't really know how we were going to achieve it, but I just knew that was important. And just by keeping it in the forefront and saying, like, these are the values that we really want to instill, we have seen that come to fruition. And so I just want to encourage people, like, yes, if you set and determine that, like, building family culture, multiplying your values and your vision, you really can if you're consistent and keep it in the forefront of your mind.
I love that. I love how you describe it. Yeah, relationship, you know, it's a big, you know, interest of mine, you know, and I was the oldest of six. So, you know, kind of understand a little bit of that big family dynamic. But it is a sweet thing to see, you know, especially when it's carried on. It's not just, you know, when the children are out of the house or whatever. And, you know, there's still that bigger bond there than I guess you tend to see it more, or the absence of it, either way, you know, kind of when people are growing up and adults, and then it's like, you know, then you kind of really see, you know, how that ties together, you know, kind of the end result of that. So I love that. So, you mentioned your teacher binder a minute ago. So is that where you keep these goals in the front of your mind? Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, I keep what I call my mom binder, and yeah. It started as just like I was a child of the 90s, and so like those Trapper Keeper binders that zipped shut, they were like right. 10 pounds. I had yeah. one left over from my own high school, and right. it just became a place where I kept things. And so really, like, all my things started as just notes, and maybe I was keeping notes about like where a kid was struggling. I had a child who we butted heads. Like I said, I had a determined child. I had a very strong-willed child, and I'm not a strong-willed person. Like, I want control over basically nothing, and I have a child whose personality is she would like to control a small planet, and running through that dynamic was really difficult when you have a child whose personality is very different from yours. It can really stretch you as a parent. It can stretch you as a person. And I remember just keeping notes because we would have conflicts throughout the day. And I started just being like, what is the root cause of what's going on? And again, being intentional about relationship. So I would just write down, like, what was the cause of this conflict, and trying to see, like, what are some factors that are leading to frustration in our household? And so my mom binder became a place not only to keep notes about like, hey, so-and-so is struggling with math or really needs a handwriting study book to just get back on the same page, but also a place to say like, hey, I'm seeing some deeper issues about relationships, or I'm seeing some different issues about like they're down on themselves and they're speaking negatively about their abilities. So I'm going to maybe bring some tools in that will help them counter that. And so again, this mom binder started as just a place for me to keep my information. And then I slowly started developing like some tools and saying, okay, I have a relationship page where I just write down relationship things that are going on and goals for our kids. And now every year we sit down at the beginning of the school year and write down like, hey, what do you want to learn about? What do you want to get out of your homeschooling year? Especially when we go to like junior high and high school, I start transferring the responsibility of their education onto them and start asking like, hey, what kinds of things do you want to pursue and see? And so that homeschool binder is a place where we can communicate together and then keep it in the binder and come back and check and set a time to say like, are we meeting our goals? So just like I have this long-term vision, then we can break that up into shorter-term vision items, and we can then also set a reminder and be intentional and check in and say, where are we at in achieving this goal, and are we getting closer or further, and then what can we change? And I think that really helps me be intentional just as a homeschooling parent, but also they can check in with me and they can hold me accountable as well, because there are times where my kids have said, hey, I don't agree with that. And we can have those conversations and we can say, you're right. You know what? That doesn't reflect our family culture values. And I'm not above being checked in with as well. And so I think we've built this culture of like saying, you know what, the rules aren't the rules just because I said so, but they're because they're our life values and we can go back to those. And that means everybody can be held accountable. And I think that gives our kids a place to feel like they're not just the only one always getting picked on all the time, but we're all working together towards this like bigger goal as a group.
Well, no, I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I think that was really, really insightful, and I hope it's definitely been a blessing to our listeners as well. So I know we're almost ready to wrap up, but before we do, can you talk a little bit about your book six keys to your successful homeschool year. So do you talk a little bit about this in there, or, you know, is that, you know, or is that kind of a different resource?
Yeah, no, the six keys to your successful homeschool is literally, as I was answering questions, I've been helping homeschooling families get either out of public school or solve a problem by overcoming it with using homeschooling. And so the six keys are really six areas that I see either get people stuck or keep families from being really successful in their homeschool. And so I broke each one of those down in a chapter and shared stories from our own homeschooling life of how we overcame those struggles. But one of the units or the chapters is this building your homeschool why. And so I just felt like that one was so important that I actually, we built a whole course around the six keys, and that unit of the course is available for free. And so I will give you the link, and you can put it in the show notes as well. But I just feel like that is something I want everybody to have access to and build their own. And so the book came out of a course that I built to help homeschoolers grow. But I thought, you know what, I just want this accessible to everybody. And so if somebody doesn't want to go through a course, doesn't have the time factor, then it's available on Amazon just in book form, and you can go through it as a self-guided journal as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's really helpful. Thank you. And like you said, we'll put the link to that in the show notes so that our listeners can go find that and check it out. Hopefully it'll be helpful and inspirational for them. So before we wrap up and before we close off, what's one final word of like encouragement or inspiration that you could tell our listeners today?
For sure. I constantly go back to the same point, and that is that your relationship with your child is the single greatest gift that homeschooling has to offer you. And if you end your homeschooling experience and you don't have a good relationship with your child, then you've misspent and you've squandered everything that homeschooling had to give you. And so, like with this why, your relationship is key. And so it's easy to get sidetracked with academic requirements and achievements. But I really encourage parents to step back and take the time that's needed to build relationships. I often see parents who are like saying they're struggling or butting heads with their child and they think it's an academic issue. And I often encourage those parents, like, have you taken time to build relationship? Because when a child trusts you and knows that you have the best in mind for them, they're willing to do things that maybe they're not sure they're capable of. And so if they step back from the academic battle and do some relationship building and do some real deep work. And parents, as parents, as homeschooling parents, like, it's our job to do the deeper work of personal growth so that we can really meet our children's needs and build relationships well.
Amen. And I love that. Thank you so much. Well, we're just about out of time for today, but I've really appreciated this conversation, just me personally, and I hope that our listeners find it encouraging as well. So just want to thank you again, Amber, for your time today. Really appreciate it, and we'll have to have you back again sometime. And thank you also to our listeners for tuning in today. We hope you'll come back again next time. Until then, have a wonderful day, and God bless. If you've been listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, I truly hope that you've been blessed and encouraged by the things we've covered today, and I'd love to hear your feedback, questions, or even suggestions for a particular guest or topic that you would like to see featured on a future episode. Feel free to email host@familydiscipleshippodcast.net, and don't forget to follow the show on social media and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss new episodes as they're released. I hope you'll be able to join us again next week, but in the meantime, I pray that the Lord will continue to bless your family as you endeavor to shepherd your children's hearts and cultivate your family's relationships with Jesus and with each other.